Welcome to Nerdist Podcast number 216. This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by two of our good friends at once coming together in a big friend moon pie. Comedy Bang Bang, the TV show on IFC. Two entities that we are both very familiar with and love. Comedy Bang Bang starts tonight, you guys, at 10, 9 central on IFC. It is an absurd talk show-ish type of a structure thing, but it doesn't matter. It's just, all you need to know is that it's hilarious for a half hour. It's Scott Aukerman. The house band is Reggie Watts, for crap's sake. And the guests are, I mean, it's just super top-notch. Scott's really great at booking phenomenal guests. You know, Zach Galifianakis and Amy Poehler and Seth Rogen and Will Forte, Andy Dalen, Gillian Jacobs, Tom Lennon, all people who will stop by Comedy Bang Bang. So again, Comedy Bang Bang starts tonight, June 8th. If you're listening to this on June 8th, on any other day, it's already happened. So watch every other Friday, not every other Friday. I mean, every other Friday other than the 8th. And please support Scott Aukerman and Comedy Bang Bang tonight, 10, 9 central on IFC, if tonight is June 8th for you. This episode of the podcast is Jason and Randy Sklar, who look very similar because they were birthed at the same time, and that apparently is not the norm. I thought I was weird for not being a twin. It turns out they're actually the minority. So, but amazing, guys. The second time they've been on, their show is United Stats of America, and you have to watch it. So please, please, please watch United Stats of America, then come back and be like, thank you, Chris Hardwick, for giving me a new thing to have to watch because now I'm addicted to it.
You're welcome, America. Sorry.
Hey, Matt Myra, what are you doing on the intro?
I'm not usually in this part.
You are breaking code!
I'm not usually in this part.
You are breaking the structure!
Well, I figured since I start the show without you.
Oh, this feels so weird. This is like, oh, this is going to be dirty now. It's like when one time I got a new car and I was eating corn nuts and I dropped a corn nut and it fell like in the console behind, like,
sure,
where I could never, ever, ever get it. And I always knew it was there. It was always under my skin.
I'm your corn nut.
You are my little corn nut. Come here. Come here to your corn nut. Oh, ranch flavored corn nuts.
You're welcome.
I was running a few minutes late. And so I just told Matt to start the podcast.
Very unprofessional.
I think you guys sportsed it up.
We did.
A little bit for like the first 4 minutes.
As soon as Chris gets on the podcast. So
which I did not demand, but this is the way it worked out.
Just keep listening.
Please. Nerdist Podcast number 216 with Jason and Randy Sklar.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I guess I'll say welcome to the Nerdist Podcast. Chris is in transit right now. But guess what? We have the Sklar brothers here, Randy and Jason.
That's what happens in podcasting, man.
Welcome to the show, you guys.
You guys are in transit, and then you make the transition.
That's the rough road of a podcasting star.
They have what we
radio
call a hard out.
Would never have started it.
They have a hard out, you guys, so we have to do this now.
We have a really hard out.
Which would probably be the name of my porno. The hard out.
We should use the first portion of the podcast to talk about sports.
Yes.
Because Chris wouldn't.
Chris gets here.
Well, the nerdy side of sports, if we may, if we can.
Well, I think most of sports is nerdy, except for the actual playing of it.
Except for the date-raping athletes. Everything is very nerdy.
Except for the lacrosse.
Some of those Duke lacrosse kids were really nerdy.
Come on.
Very high GPAs.
They did. They were really into rotisserie baseball.
This is going to go up relatively soon, so I think it's not stale for us to talk about the NBA conference finals, which are happening right now.
Well, you have a horse in the race.
I do. I have the Boston Celtics still hanging in there. The which now it's 2-2 right now. Tomorrow there will be another game. So by the time you hear this, somebody might have won.
Somebody might have won the whole thing. That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
No, I mean the whole thing, the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, for you, that's the whole thing because you know that Boston.
Kind of looking forward to a Spurs Celtics old guy.
Well, that to me feels like it would be like the old guys in the gym on the like the open run court, like the guys who are just like hocking up, you know, hucking up threes behind the line from like their from their knee braces, and they're just...
And everyone's like, guard him. Why can't you guard him? And they're like, I am
He's
guarding
him. He's got this weird look. I can't... It comes from really far away, and I cannot stop
I'm
that
trying
shot.
To guard him, man.
It's like a skyhook, but different.
It's worse. Where,
what is he doing? And every time he gets it in, like, you know, the old guys who just perfected that shot that you cannot block.
That's what I feel like the Spurs are and Boston is. And I actually think that the Spurs, and to get super technical, I think the Spurs and Boston match up with each other better than... say the Spurs, like the Thunder and the Heat. That's what David Stern in his black Jewish heart is wishing.
And that's exactly what will probably happen because,
why, as we all know.
Why are you so pessimistic for your own
the
team?
The refs are in his pocket.
Oh. Think, oh,
I feel like there's the whole.
You're going conspiracy theory?
I think, yes, you have to.
Really?
Charlotte got the number one pick for no reason.
That's true.
New Orleans got the number one.
The Bobcats did not.
Yeah. Which.
Yes.
I know. Again. We've owned them for a while. That's a good point.
Frozen Patrick Ewing.
Now that we've lost everyone who's a Nerdist fan.
What we've essentially done is the podcast version of Paul's Boutique. Like, we had a bunch of people. Nerdist had a whole wide array of people. And then we just kind of shed all the hangers-on.
There's a contingency of people that say to me and Chris, why don't you let Matt talk about sports?
Well, this is your chance.
Nerds
this
like
is your
sports.
Chance. Get it out there, man.
Well, okay. So let's move over to baseball for a second. Pujols, what's going on there?
Well,
you guys, of course.
I can put it in terms of my Mac. I tweeted this actually, and yesterday my Mac said that I had 7 hours and 26 minutes left on my battery.
that is a
power tease, and that is what happened to the Angels. They looked at the battery and they said 7 hours and 26 minutes, and they were like, "Yeah, we got that much time left.
Plenty of time.
You don't have that much time left on this guy.
I could fly to Guam with just this." No, you can't.
You cannot make a cross country flight on the battery power that it is saying I have on my Mac right now.
And so we were really excited at the beginning of the year because the Cardinals were playing great and the Angels were sucking.
Yep.
And we were just like, it's like when you see your ex girlfriend like kind of down and out,
having like a rough time.
Stumbling around and
like,
drunk.
Does she have a boil on the back of her neck?
Yes!
Good.
Dating a chubby guy, you're like, this is all right.
Dating a chubby guy, I wouldn't even say. It's more like she calls you because a boyfriend hit her or something. You're like in a moment where you're like, you made a bad choice. You made a bad choice.
Yeah,
you broke up with me and then you made a bad choice.
And instead, though, we're left with now the Angels are surging. And, and the Cardinals are just
getting swept. I said getting swept more than the ice at a curling tournament. That's some serious sweeping action. Curling jokes.
Curling. Back of
on
the house.
The Nerdist.
Back of the house, which is a curling term.
The Celtics are
parking
doing.
Parking your stone in the back of the house would be the sequel to Hard Out. Parking my stone in the back of her house.
Randy's doing curling terms right now.
Those are such.
But I play shuffleboard, like bar shuffleboard recently.
Yeah.
And that's like curling.
It's essentially
like, exactly
without
like
curling. Top curling.
Yeah.
And it's really
without
fun.
Without the sweeping.
It's like pre-video game fun.
Yep.
Like there were a series of those games that were in bars that sort of, you know, preceded all video games. Like now you see a tabletop Miss Pac-Man in a place and you're like, that's such a relic from an ancient time. But like darts.
Darts are great. Bubble hockey is still fantastic.
Bubble hockey was amazing.
Yeah.
That is like, it takes skill.
And it's like
foosball. I saw a foosball thing and I got excited.
Bubble
recently.
Hockey is one of the few bastions left where you can still take it to the Russians. You know what I mean?
I wish there were more.
That tells you how old the machines are.
But like also the USSR.
Like, and then like USSR.
And then
not
like
the Russians, ran no, the Soviet Union.
And then like Putin does some stuff that like he's such a dick. And then like you're like, okay, now it's almost like fashion where belt like high waisted pants came back again. So it's like we can hate Russia again.
Did you see Putin?
Putin scored a goal. In a celebrity game, like in like a old timers game, Putin got on the ice and then like scored on a penalty shot, and I was like, yeah, they tried. I'm sure they tried really hard to block his shot.
It honestly is like when the kid with Down syndrome at camp, you just let him run.
He can do whatever he wants.
Let him score. Let him double dribble.
Even if he throws it like into the crowd,
we'll figure out how to get it back
put
in.
Put 2 points on
it's
the board.
Close.
Get it back in.
That was
there.
Close enough.
That was
close
essentially
enough.
Putin. They just kind of let him down. Everybody moved to the side.
Just let him run. And make
they had a celebrity football or soccer thing in England. And Gordon Ramsay.
We talked about that on our podcast.
Gordon Ramsay got basically jacked from behind And then he was given oxygen.
Yeah.
Oxygen.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
Where are they playing this game? In Boulder, Colorado?
It was the England equivalent of Denver, which is on top of Stonehenge.
On top of Stonehenge.
It just
Why did he need oxygen? So he gets taken off. And I mean, if you're Gordon Ramsay, you've built a career where, like, if you get injured, people are going to cheer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you basically have
it's
yelled
like Simon
at
Cowell. Like, you see Simon Cowell, like, trip or something, and people are going to start cheering.
People are going to
I am a
it.
Huge fan of Gordon Ramsay. Like, Kitchen
Nightmares. The English Kitchen Nightmares. Oh, unbelievable.
Oh, amazing.
I'm like, let's go to West Hampshire.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
Hardwick.
Matt, what are you doing in that chair? What is that? I don't even know.
Hardwick is here. We're just talking about British Kitchen Nightmares, Gordon Ramsay, and why it's beautiful.
Oh, British Kitchen Nightmares. So when you're making Marmite and then all of a sudden it turns into the face of your father who's telling you that you'll never achieve anything in life.
Yeah, that's
it's a
right.
British Kitchen
that
Nightmare.
That is a serious British Kitchen
serious?
Nightmare. He's telling you that you'll never be able to swim across the Thames. A dreadful...
You'll never be able to
call it the Thames.
British
Thames.
Kitchen Nightmare.
Or the English Channel. I was like the English Channel. That was didn't like someone try and swim underwater across the English Channel.
That seems like a very bad health
that
hazard.
Seems impossible to do, but yet I feel like someone has tried it.
But I think that giving a girl or giving someone a channel seems like
right.
That
right.
Seems like that,
that
should
seems
be a
like
sexual
be a
euphemism.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
I gave him a channel. I gave
you put everything. Yeah. You put it all inside.
That means
10 digits and a dick.
That means I'm going to go down for 90 minutes until we get to
that's
Paris.
That's right. Until I'm not coming up for air.
No.
Until I see the Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower is something.
Two dudes
high five each other. You know that move.
Oh, when they're both.
Someone's in behind, and two guys give.
Do you guys know about docking?
No,
docking is it's a male on male when someone has to be uncircumcised for this to work.
Now, do you get this adapter at Radio Shack?
You can. It's a male to male adapter.
Yeah. Right.
The foreskin goes over the other penis, so they're both touching and they dock.
Oh, so one person has to have not made the covenant with the Lord.
No, yes. So yeah. And the docking and you basically just need to dock for 15 minutes and you charge for the whole day.
Yeah, that's good. You get a flash charge of 80%.
Quick charge. Garbage bagging is when
when you eat a hobo's face.
When two dudes, I think I made this up. It's not in practice, but in theory, when two dudes like mash their balls together and then twisty tie their dongs around each other.
No,
garbage bagging.
It's great.
But the trick is that you can't be hard, like because you can't.
No one. You can't.
Well, if you were, once you start twisting, it's over.
And you have to be a shower, not a grower, really. For that to work,
yeah, that's you right. A lot
to get
of things
more than two turns.
Let's be honest, a lot of things have to happen for that to play out.
Here's the thing, and I imagine that this is probably like after you complete that act.
Yeah,
like I don't think there's anything.
Where do you go
ejaculatory
from
in that act? You just have to say like we did it. It to me it feels.
Turns into puppetry of the penis.
You know what it's like?
Then you go to your chore list and check off took out the trash.
I guess that's exactly. You took out the trash. To me, it kind of feels like when you go to the Statue of Liberty, and have you ever walked to the top of the Statue of Liberty?
I have not.
You walk up like thousands of stairs. I mean, it is thousands of stairs. Yeah. You get to the top, and there's not like an observation deck for you to just chill out for a half an hour after you've basically walked this.
You just kind of like walk up
past
to the
top,
window,
past
and then you
the
have
window,
to keep walking
go,
of,
keep going
of the
down.
Crown, right?
Yes, you walk past the window, and then you just keep walking. You're never stopped. So it is literally.
That sounds awful.
To me, it feels like what like the end of a garbage bag would feel like. Like you do all this work. And then at the end, you're just like, oh, we gotta untie each other now.
I think, yeah, they probably just weren't really thinking about that the tourist industry when that was gifted to us.
The garbage bag?
Yes. Like when France gave us the garbage bag.
that is part of one of our, like, we went through a series of trying to write, like, intelligent, sort of nerdy your mama jokes. One of them was, your mom is so tall, she was a gift from France.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which
that's
I feel
one,
like
right?
That
not,
sort of.
Not
I
had, bad at all.
I had one that was, your mama's pussy is so big, your daddy needs a unified field theory to fuck her. I don't know if that's one that might work out for people.
Yes, yes, it. Yes,
done.
You do.
Done. Sold.
I mean, that also implies that the father has a penis on a that is the, a molecular level that would follow you know, that would follow quantum mechanics. I mean, there's a lot. It's really insulting.
You basically are assuming a lot.
Both of his parents.
That's right. Yes. You've insulted everybody in that whole thing.
Yeah. Science.
Everyone's getting
and
it.
Science, yes.
Oh, your mom is so old, her last period was the Triassic. That was another one that I was toying with for a while.
Come on, nerdy your mama jokes. We've started a trend.
Nerdy.
You're going to get tons of emails, and you will get great ones.
But rather than be your mama, it would have to be your mother.
Your mother.
Your maternal unit.
is so fast.
Welcome back to the Nerdist Podcast, Jason and Randy Sklar.
I already did that during the first portion called
what?
Sports. We hit a sports portion.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's acceptable because I was late. I was at this place in Burbank called Gentle Giant Studios, and they make all these amazing toys and statues and figurines. And I got a three-dimensional scan because they're making an action figure of me for our Nerdist TV show.
That's nice. What I'm talking
so
about.
So that's what, so, and to their dismay, once I realized that the scan itself only takes 20 seconds, I'm like, now let me do a happy face. Now let me do a zombie face. Yeah. Like, I'm sure it's what they get every time someone sits in that fucking chair.
No, but you know what? Once action figures just look sort of vaguely like you. As much as they're going to try, it's going to look sort of like you.
It'll just look like a white guy.
Like, yeah, like Lance Bass or, you know, or I mean, someone
like,
else.
You're going to look. Have you ever had a mold of your face done where they literally, I did that once for, because we had a prosthetic that we were connected at the head for a movie, and I was like, literally, they put the stuff on you and you're breathing out of a straw and they put a plaster.
But see, in your case, all they would have to do is just destroy Randy because there's a disposable brother.
That's right.
I mean, I destroy Jason because of disposable brother. And so it really...
Well, just make one mold and that's
just
what
one
it
mold.
Is.
No, I tried to do that to me once and I fucking flipped out.
Well, if you are claustrophobic,
I had one. They made one for me on full body because we had to do a side thing when we played Siamese Twins for Grey's Anatomy. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And they said it'll be really easy and it won't hurt or anything like that. And it slowly ripped all of the hair off of my chest. And not in a, like, as hard as that looked in the 40-year-old virgin and out, as terrible as that looked, imagine that going slowly.
Yeah.
And it was just peeling it off
or
my body.
Or imagine separating a conjoined twin. That also is painful.
That would have been better.
The prosthetic was probably exactly
more painful.
It was like separating thousands of conjoined twins off your chest.
Oh, it was so awful. I was screaming the whole time. Like, screaming like a child, like a tiny
baby. I remember
in
the producer of the show, the writer, the woman who wrote it, was there with her parents.
I was just screaming because they thought, oh, it'd be so cool to see how they build a mold for this thing. And I was just screaming expletives at everybody.
It's funny that you think feeling claustrophobic means, oh, you're in a small elevator or you're in a small space, but it really is just about being trapped and you feel more trapped than you've ever, I did anyway. I mean, it's been a long time. Maybe I can handle it now, but at the time it's darker than you've ever felt, and it's more silent than you've ever experienced.
And you think about being buried alive.
That's what
that
it feels like.
That is the scariest thing.
Because you feel it goop over your face, and all of a sudden everything just gets really
quiet,
really
muffled. Quiet and muffled, and you're like, I can't see anything.
That sounds weirdly comforting to me.
No, it isn't, though.
Some people can deal with it, and other people, like myself, I just started just in, like totally reflexively just scraping it out of my eyes and like, I can't do this.
This is why I think I can't scuba dive because, I mean, I was breathing through the little straw thing they have you breathing through. But like at some point I'm like, what if I can't, you know, because my nose is covered up. So you're like, what if I can't breathe or for whatever reason I'm swallowing and I can't breathe? That's what like there are those people who scuba dive and I just I'm like, I don't know how you like I would fuck it up and then just be in like tremendous panic mode, like 80 feet under the
water. So a head mold is when a guy puts his dick in your mouth and then 1,000 guys come on you and then it just goops
and it molds
over
onto
and
your
then
face.
The only way you just have to breathe through the one guy's
dude they gave him a head mold
I gave him the prosthetic head
prosthetic head
the prosthetic head
the old prosthetic head
well that old gem
the old prosthetic head
you guys did an amazing job on All Star Bowling. Thank you for being
that was
on.
So much fun.
Whoever put that together did a fantastic. Kudos to whoever put that together because I was like, we did a lot of fun and funny stuff throughout a really long period of time. I'm like, how are they going to cut this thing down? But they did a
9 minutes,
job.
10, 8 minutes,
like 9 minutes.
Great.
Yeah,
really
it's
fun.
It's a fun process. They take a bunch of footage and then cut like a long version of the show, and then throughout the week. I just go back and forth with them. I like cut this, add this, you know, but the company Soapbox that we work with, they're so fucking awesome and funny that they they come in with a lot of ideas.
Yep.
And it just makes the job fun and easy and not...
I mean, every testimonial, as I was watching everyone do their testimonials, were hilarious. Like, they were really funny. I mean, you're getting people who that's what they do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As opposed to sometimes, I mean, I know you've had, like, casts of shows and stuff. It's like, they're not... You know, and they're great, but I'm just saying, like, this is exactly like Pardo knows how to deliver a like 20-second comedy bit in a soundbite.
Pardo
Baron.
And Todd together are so fucking
hilarious.
Funny. Todd, is that tattoo to distract from the party hair? You know, it's a variant style haircut, Jimmy. When 1954?
And Todd got really mad at him about that, about not knowing, like, because that was such a great point that Todd was making. I don't know if that made it in, but about how people who say, like, that's not cool when they don't know that that's become cool again.
Right. So I love and one of the jokes, we left it in. It really needed an insert shot, but it was...
I did the joke about his arm.
Was, yeah, Jason, that was your joke about... Todd had this fake tattoo sleeve on one arm and then just super hairy on the other when you go, so on this side, you're Robin Williams.
And on the other side, you're just a bear boy. Yeah, that was ridiculous.
That was really fun.
And also, congratulations, because Team Podcasters won the season of All-Star Celebrity Bowling.
So we get to deliver charity to people.
$10,000 goes to Smile Train, which was...
fantastic.
Now, Smile Train is when a bunch of hookers just...
Now, that might not work out well for your...
No, that's...
It's when a bunch of hookers pool their money and give
that's
money
right,
to this
take
worthy charity.
Each of their earnings.
Yeah.
And then they sew each other into a human centipede.
No, that's not Smile Train.
That's not Smile Train.
That's not Smile Train.
No, but that is really cool. I couldn't believe how good Marin was. He was ridiculous.
I think it's all about competition. Marin's like not a good bowler, and then in that moment, he just took
wait
it
a minute,
on.
I have to step up and I have to deliver.
I'm routinely the worst bowler. We've done. I did.
It's
a couple
so
of those.
Fun. I mean, it is so fun. I just remember.
We just did one with the Breaking Bad one aired today, and people are like tweeting at me, "Why are you on your phone the whole time?" And I was like, I was looking up Cranston's IMDb credits to make fun of him.
I do have to say we do have it on tape that Jonah did spill the beer on himself.
He spilled beer on himself.
Nice.
He did, and he blamed it on you.
Yeah, of course.
He blamed it on you?
Yeah.
And you can go back to the tape.
Yeah.
We can go back to the tape.
We have the replay. Jonah. Unlike Major League Baseball, we're using
Ashley
replay.
Can use replay.
You
here.
Can use replay
in,
to get the truth.
All-Star Bowling.
Can you not use a replay in
not in
baseball?
No. Not yet.
Now, why is that? So explain this to me as
the
a sports
element.
Idiot.
Because
that's what
they
makes
want
baseball
so
great.
Much of
well, and what's amazing is this past week there was a no-hitter thrown by, which is a very rare feat in baseball, by a New York Met, first New York Met to throw a no-hitter in ever, I
yeah,
think.
Ever, ever.
In the history of the franchise, which is incredible. Because
the franchise has only been around for the 50s.
Yeah, but they had Tom Seaver and they had Nolan Ryan and they had Doc Good. They've had a lot of amazing pitchers. So this guy throws a no-hitter, and one of the plays, a guy hit a line drive down the left field line, and it got part of the line. You could see visually on the field, it clipped part of the left field line, which is technically a fair ball. That should be a hit. The umpire called it a foul ball. There's no replay. So that's not a hit, and the guy still gets a no-hitter.
But that's interesting to me. That's interesting to me for with sports. I mean, like, that seems like a holdover from a time when they didn't have the ability to do that. Would you rather seek the truth, or would you...
It's like religion.
No.
It's like it's a holdover from
the
another
laws
time.
Of keeping kosher.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Don't boil a calf in his mother's milk.
Right.
That's why you can't eat milk and meat. That's why you can't eat milk and meat.
That's why you're not supposed to eat milk and then
That's why the Jews can't eat milk and meat. But
now,
I think there are enough cows out there now that you probably...
Chances are you're not getting the milk from the mom.
So a cow bath is when you take...
You take a very large woman.
Yes. And then you hang a bunch of wieners from her stomach. So
they
have to position...
form a milky substance.
That's right.
Her pendulous belly.
And you are the bucket.
Yeah, that's right. Just you are the milking product, the milking machine. Jay milked a cow.
I did milk a cow. It's
what?
Phenomenal. Yes, on our show on United States of America.
So you guys are on United States of Terra.
No. We are two different personalities of the same
she's
woman.
She's so good, she has now developed, like, literally split into two Jewish people.
Twins.
Would that be any crazier than the personalities they had for her on the show?
They were kind of crazy.
Who was your favorite? Truck driver?
The trucker?
I don't know.
I guess it's a real thing because you're kind of like, she's such a good actress. Like, why would she be going that? Like, there has to be such reality behind the truth of whatever that is.
But from an actor, I totally get why you would want that. That probably just either smells like, oh, this is either an Emmy in the making or just a fun acting challenge where
That's
I get
right.
to be different characters. But it just felt a little... I never really watched the show, I can't judge it. But the previews, like everything I saw, was just like, oh, now she's this one dimensional character, right. And now that one dimensional. But I'm sure there was more to it than that.
I'm sure there was. It's like going retarded in a movie. You know what I mean? It's like you're going out on the limb.
Tropic Thunder.
You're going out on the limb. If you do it, then you could get an Oscar.
Yeah, but if not, then ridiculed.
That's right.
And that
it's a very fine line.
You're doing a bad retarded impression.
It's like walking to the top of the Statue of Liberty, and then you only have to go down.
Thank you for telling me that. I'm never walking up to the top of the Statue of Liberty.
No, we've saved a lot of people here.
How many people do you think walk across, and you could just, if you just looked through the crown, you would just hear in succession, "That's fucking it," and then over and over again.
What people?
Are you
kidding
me? Do you know what they should have? Oh my god, they should just have a fire pole like all the way down, or a slide. Why not make like a corkscrew slide?
I love it.
All the way down.
I'm loving it.
And then you just come out of her feet.
Sponsored by McDonald's. I'm loving it.
I'm loving it.
Corkscrew slide.
Grimace at the bottom. Ba-da-ba-ba. Come on, let's do this.
That would be, and it's just literally a pile.
So grimace at the bottom is when someone shits at your feet,
and then.
And it's purple. It's purple.
And it's literally...
Don't know what they ate.
It's the entrail.
But it's purple shit.
Do you have a lot of eggplant? This is crazy.
Pepto-Bismol.
Pepto-Bismol.
Come on.
United States of America. I have to admit that I've not seen the show yet.
I have.
I apologize. But Matt says it's fucking amazing. And Jonah even said, he was like, they're like the graphics are amazing on the show.
Graphics are amazing. The company, the same company that did the graphics for Food Inc., the graphics for the show.
And like if ever there was a show like designed for your viewers in this way or your listeners in this way, this is such a perfect show for them. I mean, it's kind of tapped into like our education that we, you know, finally I feel like for the first time, and we try to make our stand up smart if we can. But this is like you're actually taking sociological things about America and explaining why are we here, and then we're going to try and make it as funny as we
can. And using stats as the entry point.
Yeah.
And they do. And what's great about the show, I think, from a fan's perspective, a fan of, you know, statistics and or science and of the Sklar Brothers, is that you guys keep your voice.
And that was the hardest thing. And we were really nervous about that.
No one can write for you guys.
Nobody can.
You know, we kind of luckily very early on, and some people have figured out certain ways to write for us, but early on in the show, History and Left Right Productions, which is the same production company that did This American Life on Showtime. So we have a lot of trust in these guys that, like, they took that franchise that was, no, everybody's like, oh, it's hallowed ground. You can't take the radio show and turn it into a TV show. And then I thought they did a very masterful job of making that into a great TV show. These guys, they sort of said, here's what we want you to say. Now you say it. And then History kept on saying, guys, push it. Go further. And we were like, that's great. Just let us go. Because, you know, it's like there's a moment, and I'm not comparing us to this, but in my mind, I see this as like, you know, there's a moment, and I now have seen this in the show Girls, which I fucking love. But in like Larry David, when you feel like the argument's done and he's going to walk away, and then he kind of, little thing switches off in his mind. And because it's improv, you know, it's like he's thinking of that in that moment. He just goes and, hold on a second, and something catches him and he just keeps going on a tangent.
It's a great character drive for him to keep pushing
The main character in the show Girls on HBO, I feel like she does that a lot too. It makes me love her as a character. And I think we kind of have a little bit of that in what we do as well.
Whenever we're dealing with like experts and stuff like that.
Which is kind of funny to watch the experts
have to rein us back in, or just
figuring out like what
okay, what are we doing
this
here?
Is the actual thing,
and we're like, no. you said something that was bizarre, and even just trying to get them to play our game, and it actually is fun because we're like, well, we're not.
The information is going to get out. That information is going to get out in this show, so it shouldn't be our job to just get the information out. It should be almost our job to fight that. And almost try to go in a different direction, and then the information comes out.
Right.
It's almost like if you're an actor and someone says to you, you have to cry, or you have to, you know, or I don't know. I remember I auditioned for Curb Your Enthusiasm. I did an episode of Curb where, you know, the whole scene, I was supposed to get angry. It was great. I got to fight with Larry David. It was like, I was so thrilled about doing it. But for some reason, I can't even tell you why I chose to do this. In the audition, it was with Larry. I was like, I'm going to try not to get mad at him. Let's just see that. Let me play that. And that is suddenly this way better thing to be doing in there. It's such a more complicated move to like really be trying not to be angry and stifling it. So then when it ultimately comes out, it's like this catharsis. And so for us, that's almost what we're trying to do in the show, which is not just sit there and be like, well, there's this fact and there's this fact. And hey, here's an expert. That's interesting. What else? Yeah. You know, instead, we're just trying to almost derail them so that they have to get us to the point that we need to get to.
And did you create the show or did they?
No, the show was actually, there was this crazy viral video of this Danish statistician who was talking about life expectancy versus wealth of a nation. It got like 11 million hits on YouTube. I think the BBC had something to do with it. I
think it might have even been a TED Talk at some point. Maybe.
Were there cats in it?
Yeah, there are cats in it.
He does this talk, but then there's an adorable kitty who's just trying to get
sneaks up on another kitty.
And then the other kitty gets a little milk on his nose, and his muzzle is all milky. It's adorable.
And that's why African nations don't live long.
Yeah, and it's also the best part is the end of the video.
Just tied it all back in.
When the kitty walks around to different nursing homes and predicts when people are going to die.
And then someone just drops dead.
And then Antoine Dodson sings about it.
Yeah.
So the show is called Death Cat.
Death Cat for Cutie. Come on.
Death Cat for Cutie. So, so this video went around and it got to the history.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
And then the cat, then you've got like a little kitten that's doing like postal service songs. Like, come on. Meow, 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 meow,
meow. Meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow. Anyway, it's ridiculous. You're like, come on, dude, that's not Death Cat for Cutie. That's like a tangential side.
Same guy, dude.
Side project.
Then there's another cat, like a tabby kitty that wants to do like the project between Ben Gibbard. No, not Owl City. There's an owl trying to do Owl City. And you're like, you sound too much like a cat. And then there's another cat that's trying to do Ben Gibbard project with Jay Farrar.
Okay.
And there are also statistics. The Dutch guy.
Yeah, so this
very
video,
densely packed video.
This video
that this
found
was.
Its way to the History Channel, and they were like, we got to do a show about this and for America. And they tapped Left Right, who had done This American Life, to be the production company. They tried to cast it in New York. Couldn't find anyone that
they were looking for one host.
One host, and they were like, look, we need someone who's kind of fun and enthusiastic because, not even enthusiastic, but can breathe some life into it because it is just statistics on some level. So then they couldn't find it. They came out to LA, and while they were out here,
we still weren't on the radar.
We weren't. This is so bizarre how it came about, and it never, you guys know, it never comes about this way. But the guy was driving to the auditions, and we came on NPR. We do like a weekly thing on Southern California NPR, explaining sports to the NPR audience. So it's taking a complicated thing that most people don't know about and trying.
Like explaining how the Dodgers were out of money. We're like, if you go to a farmer's market and you have no money, you can't buy these heirloom tomatoes that you really want.
That's NPR what's happening audience, to the Dodgers right now.
They get it. They
tote
get
bag.
It.
And then you just say tote bag at the end, and then you're set.
But so we were kind of doing that and being kind of funny, and he's driving the audition. He's like, oh my God, why aren't we talking to
this? This is exactly what we're, the spirit of what we're going for.
And so he tracked us down. He knew who we were and tracked us down through our management and said, would you guys, submit something so you can jump.
So we shot on his on Randy's iPhone.
Shot my iPhone in my backyard, a little, sort of audition thing, sent it in, emailed it in. It was just so crazy that we were able to do that. And then
tested for
it. I remember when that was happening. I remember when you guys were doing that. Yeah,
it's
crazy.
Well, there was this moment where they're like, you got to make this video. And we're like, really? We have to make a video? Like, can't they just see stuff that we've done? And then they were like, no, you need to actually do like a statistical exploration. And so we decided to talk about the occurrence of twins and the regularity or sort of specificity.
I was like 1 in 89 when we were born, and now it's 1 in 33 because of fertility drugs. So we feel less special because there are more twins on the planet. And so, not all of them are identical, but still it was like
the only group of women who are growing in terms of numbers of pregnancies in the United States since 1960 are 40 to 50 years old. That group has like almost doubled. And mostly it's because, of how we live and choosing to get married
women
later.
Having careers. Yep. God damn them.
How dare they?
How dare they?
Stupid.
And then having babies later. But
So it was, we kind of did this whole thing, and then they got it, and then we tested for it and got it. And it was just like a presentation. It wasn't even a show at that point. But then like 2 weeks later, they're like, we're shooting six of these.
Whoa.
So over the fall, we shot, and they're hour-long episodes, which is nice and long. And we shot six of these, and we started to figure it out as we got through it. And then we started to see the cuts and the edits of it because we were producers on it as well. We got to give our feedback as far as that went and voiceover and stuff. We're like, we got to add jokes in here. And then it came out the way we wanted it to come out. And now it's out there, and now we're
just... We just need people to watch it.
That's right.
Yeah, that'd be great if you guys had a million people could watch that show.
That'd be great.
Invite a million people over. Which night? When's it on?
It's on Tuesday nights at 10, 9 Central, 8 Mountain on History.
Thank you for including Mountain Time.
Yeah, we gotta include Mountain Time. We've been to Salt Lake City.
I do have a gross question.
Sure.
I'm curious. Do twins have the same exact penises?
We've never docked.
Well, you can't.
We technically can't as two Jews. I don't think so. I don't think you do.
I think penises are like snowflakes.
Okay.
They can melt when it gets really hot.
Because I can't help but wonder, like, if I see twin girls or twin dudes, I wonder if their junk's the same.
Twin girls have the same
penises. Yeah.
Really?
They do.
That's interesting.
Tiny penises.
That always struck me as weird, and we talk about this briefly in our act, but although not much, just about the idea that, like, male sexual fantasy is to do it with twins.
I always wondered about that.
Like, if they get... Okay, because eventually, I mean, part of the joy of having a three-way is to watch them hook up, too, assuming.
Yeah,
and so once they do that, though, it just gets really creepy and weird. You're watching two sisters hook up.
And immediately illegal.
Immediately illegal. Like, if that's what you're up for and down with.
You know, it's funny you say that. I tried a couple times a long time ago, I tried to make a bit out of that, and the second it came out of my mouth, it just eked everyone out, and I didn't pursue it any further. So I'm thrilled that you were able to attack that in a way that it probably worked.
It just seems really bizarre to me. You're like, all right, let's do it. It's like a trip to Vegas. You know what I mean? It's like the driving to Vegas thing. It's like, let's go to Vegas. And then like 3 hours in, you're like, we're not even there. That's what it is. Like, let's hook up with twins.
We haven't even hit Prim.
Yes. Oh, Prim or Gene, Nevada.
Laughlin.
Could we just pretend you're a mirror and that you're not two people?
Because then you got to ask yourself, am I into incest? Then you got to.
There is that moment.
It's
where
almost
you,
like a weird. Well, you guys know as twins, twins always go down on each other when they're kids.
Yeah,
you know, because you're growing up, and
that's
it's
summer.
Like, yeah, there is that kind of a weird.
During sleepaway camp,
easy. We do not even like touch. Like we won't even high five each other. There's like a
very weird. We've talked about this before. It is very weird.
It is like touching.
Like it's like when I shake your hand and I make a contact with either one of you guys, Matt or who's that guy, Chris. Honestly, it's like touching human flesh. It's right. It's a real connection. You feel it. There is like electricity that connects. You're touching another live human being. I swear to you, when I touch Randy's hand, it feels like, you know, when you fall asleep on your arm and then you wake up and you feel like you're paralyzed and you have to bang your arm against the wall just to like
just
bring yourself back
up.
Yeah, literally banging.
Yeah. And it is like touching, I say it, like touching your own cold dead self.
Now, is that for all twins, or you think just because of your relationship with Randy?
I think it's
not for all
it
twins.
It can't be for all twins. It's not. Twins. It's not. I think it is for us because I don't know why. It's just been our relationship is filled with so many dichotomies. Like, I feel like we really strive to be unique individual people, and yet we chose this profession where we're doing the same thing and we're part of an act together. And like, we try to be, you know, we don't try to be any one thing. We don't try to be polar opposites. We don't try to be exactly the same. We kind of live in this weird middle zone of like wanting to be our own people, but also not wanting to deny
it. It's interesting because there are moments when like we'll be on stage and like, if it's great and it's working really well, you come off stage and you're like, oh, this is so, and you having been part of a team, I think you understand this too. You're like, oh my God, that was so interesting and unique and different, and we did it, you know? And then most of the time it kind of feels like that. Then in times when it's you're bombing or having a terrible set, you're like, this is so, why is it so complicated, and why is it so, we built this in such a weird and wrong way, and then you get off stage and start questioning yourself. But it is something that you got to go out and do. To me, it's like, it feels like there are moments where, and I'm assuming that Andrew Dice Clay feels this, like every time he has to put on his weightlifting gloves to do comedy, because
the weightlifting gloves ever come off?
They have nothing to do. Yeah, they have nothing to do with, like, why can't he cover this part of his fingers?
The tips of his fingers.
If we just wore driving gloves, would people be like, "That's not that funny"? Wait a minute. It kind of, and I was thinking about that yesterday when I was watching Tiger Woods play golf, and Tiger Woods won a tournament finally after a long time. He's had a lot of problems with his wife and cheating and all that stuff. And every day on the final day of the tournament, tournaments just, I don't know if you watch enough golf to know that it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The final round is on Sunday.
Yeah, I've watched
it. He always wears his red shirt.
Red.
Like Tiger sees blood in the water and he's going to do it. Like,
which, by the way, Tigers rarely go into the water.
That's right.
Yeah. To see blood
in the water.
They don't. Tigers don't hunt in the.
It's not a blood-based situation. Yeah, tigers don't need to see blood in order to want to take on.
Yeah, no.
See an animal that they want to eat. That's they're going to go after it.
They're going to. Would have made more sense for Greg Norman.
Yeah. By the way, the shark.
But
his nickname was the shark.
All the shark came up with was that terrible hat. But he literally he's got this like red shirt, which again the blood would be all over him if he's wearing a red shirt, which again doesn't make any sense.
If you know anything from Star Trek, first one to go down.
This is a red shirt.
First one to go.
It's like a black person in any other movie. First one to go down.
It's the first. And with Tiger, you know, it's my I do know some stuff about golf, and I was talking to my dad was talking about Tiger when I was visiting him in Memphis a couple weeks ago, and he was like, you know, he lost the two biggest support structures he had in his life. He lost his father and he lost his marriage.
That's right.
And he has no compass anymore. That's like, right. My dad thinks he's done.
By the way, all of the sex acts we made up, Tiger Woods is done.
Oh, yeah. He's done everything.
All to a waitress from Perkins.
and a not a good-looking one. No, but, you know what I mean? Like, there was probably a better-looking woman, like, on the cook line.
But she was the hostess.
She had the most contact.
So with the waitress.
My thing
to the
is
car.
That, like,
he put on his red shirt, went into Perkins.
He's like, I'm going in for the kill.
I smell blood.
I smell blood in a Perkins.
That's
I'm going
bad.
After
blood.
Blood.
You
should not be.
One way to interpret it.
You know, bleeding during that sex act. No, but I just felt like there's a moment, and I felt very connected to Tiger in that way, where, like, okay, there was a long period of time where he's not winning tournaments, but he's still maybe in the hunt, and he still has to put the red shirt on Sunday, and he's probably like, I don't want to put this fucking thing on.
He sees it's all the other color shirts, and this is like this the is one red shirt. It's still
like,
in the
mocking
it's
him.
In the dry cleaning bag, and he's like, I just don't. I guess
sometimes
I have to.
I feel that way.
But it is
stage.
Interesting to think about that, like, you know, someone of that level, like people who are that huge. I mean, I know you've talked to people. Also, you guys, I consider you to be one of these people, but like. Also, people who are huge stars, they need that support system in order to...
Definitely not in that group over
not
here.
Not in that group.
Definitely not in that group, Jay.
All right. Talk about someone who, you know, a giant star who needs that scaffolding and that, like, support system underneath them because they can't do anything except what they do that made them famous.
My wife's friend was a... worked in the management company for Steven Tyler, like, mm-hmm. for Aerosmith and whatnot. And, like... She told the story of, like, he was, like, up in Boston, like, at a hotel across the street from a Staples, and he wanted her to call that Staples and have, like, computer papers sent to the hotel. Like, he couldn't go downstairs and go across the street and buy computer paper at Staples. It just seemed like such a roundabout, crazy-ass way, and I was like, I can't believe... This is pre-American Idol. This is back when, like, Aerosmith was just... You know, still Aerosmith,
right.
But I mean, it's like it just to me just blew my mind.
Let's be honest, he could have taken the scarf off, maybe put his head a ponytail, put a hat on,
yeah,
regular clothes.
He would have looked like someone's mom.
Someone would be like, Carly Simon is in Staples.
Who's your Savannah about?
But then the second he opens his mouth, where's the paper? Like, they can't. I always, you know, I people judge, you know, people judge Tiger and people do like, and I you know, like, what he did was wrong and shitty, but I do think and the public I don't think will ever I don't think they will ever assume any responsibility for it, but they should, mm-hmm. which is that they build these people up and these realities are created. Like, it's not like Tiger is a guy who worked in a bank and had a regular life and then cheated with a bunch of people. Like, but what people don't seem to understand is he was in this reality,
right.
where that was okay in their world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so he wasn't conditioned with the same values that you and I were. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like he was not, I don't think he was actually emotionally equipped to know that what he was doing was wrong. Now, I'm not saying that that absolves him of what he did. It was totally shitty. But I'm saying, you know, like, everyone builds him up. And they're like, you can do anything. You can do anything. You can do, since he was three.
He was getting his dick sucked at three.
wait
a minute. That, he had a twin brother you didn't know about.
Yeah. I mean,
he called that the hole in
that was off the kids menu of Perkins.
No, but you're right.
That was at the putt-putt.
You got to understand. But if you think that actors don't, like big star actors don't go on movies and just cheat on their husbands and wives all the time when they go on a movie set, you're putting your head in the sand and pretending. It happens on every set all the time. The Travolta thing, the fact that people were shocked by that at all is wrong. You should not be shocked by that.
Well, I didn't put my head in the sand because I'm very claustrophobic and I couldn't.
Yes, that's right. The whole mold thing. You could breathe out.
I couldn't.
We did a story about this on Scalabro Country about these like college kids who were basketball players who went into they got busted and they got for stealing Gatorade in like a Quickie Mart or something like that. Okay. If they're AAU players or kids who have played on traveling special McDonald's All-American teams like all their lives, they have never paid for a bottle of Gatorade in their lives. They probably think Gatorade is free.
Right.
Wherever you go, there it is. It's in the refrigerator. I'm going to open it up and pull it out and take it away. They don't have a basis of knowledge, just like Tiger Woods feels like every woman is ripe for the taking.
That's right.
Well, yeah, and I think I remember who told me this. I think maybe Saget told me this story about they would go out to dinner with the Full House crew every once in a while. And
party of Full House. That's like, right. They was like Full House party.
This is a very old story. This is a very old story that I remember he told me years ago. But he said that the Olsen twins, who were the richest pair, twins, you guys, huh?
Hey, come on.
Never once would like reach for their wallet or anything to pay for the dinner. And it's like, because they literally don't know everyone's always done it for them.
That's right. They've grown up being handled by people.
If someone is conditioned to be handled and they're told that they can do anything and that they're perfect, and then they enter this world where everyone's like, oh yeah, everyone fucks all these people. That's just that's the way it's done. You know, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying from his point of view, he was never conditioned to understand any other lifestyle.
The Olsen twins were so conditioned that like they wouldn't even step like on their own, get into their sarcophaguses.
They would
to fall asleep at night. They forced someone to put them in there.
They have twin Renfields.
That's unbelievable.
Yep. Renfields.
Just one lock that locks them both so they can sleep.
Put them in there to their chambers.
I mean, meanwhile, like one of them is now dating like some huge dude he was seen in a basketball. I mean, huge person. I forget who it is. It's like, I don't know.
John Popper?
It's not. Pre-stomach staple, John Popper.
Oh, okay.
Like, the Olsen twins are so rich, they bought
again?
A time machine.
Is Popper big again?
Yeah, he's getting back up there.
Is he getting back up there?
Yeah.
Does that mean that the stomach staple doesn't work?
You can stretch it out.
You can stretch out the staple.
Yeah. I just think, I'm sure over time.
You could, I suppose.
Or you have to have Steven Tyler's assistant go to Staples.
Where's
the staple? Stomach staples.
Where's the staples?
That was easy.
That was simple.
Wow.
Wow.
Was that not the right?
No, that was good.
No,
that was
where you should go. Exactly.
I wanted to say wow.
Perfect.
I think it's okay to look down at our noses at these people.
Sure.
But I do think that at the same time, I just, you know, for most people going, yeah, it's fucked up the way you did that. Like, yeah, but you don't, if you did that, yeah, because that you understand the values that most human beings share.
I feel like people, though, like the world has changed now. I feel like just people have the values of that system.
Of Us Weekly.
Yes.
But can I also, what was the one I saw? I was on a plane and there was an Us Weekly and I was flipping through it. And I flipped through it to get mad at it. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I flipped through it to get mad at it. And it was one. It was the section of celebrities. They're just like us. And one of them was literally as fucking stupid as, I don't remember who the celebrity was, because I don't recognize a lot of people in there. Mm-hmm. She was reading the side of a box in a grocery store, and they're like, they read nutritional information too.
Yeah, well, they're just like us.
Wow.
They are just like us when you think about it. But that section is what we're saying. It's bridging the gap between that behavior and regular.
But there is a mechanism in human beings that loves to build people up and then tear them down at the same time. At the same time, people are building up someone like Tiger. They're also storing this potential energy of rage and jealousy.
Right.
And I think, you know, I've said many times on the podcast before, I believe as a culture we are addicted to outrage, and we like being outraged at things that are none of our fucking business.
Right.
Because it makes us feel better about our, you know, like our little small place in the world.
Hoarders.
And it drives me fucking crazy.
Yes. Right.
Yes. Poop in a Target bag.
I'm not saying not to be outraged at the actions of others, but I'm saying, like, fucking hold up a mirror the next time you want to wag your finger at someone and see how perfect your life is before you start shitting on other people.
That's so
people
true.
I have to go look at myself in the mirror because I just shit on those people.
Go look yourself in the mirror for making that statement.
I'm full of horrible.
How dare
you have to go look in your mirror?
No, he did. He
I'm
looked
full
in the
of contradictions
and see how much of it. See if how hypocritical you are.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to look in the mirror and see how hypocritical I am.
but it's true. I completely agree with that, and I feel like there's this need to put people in a fishbowl, need to, like you said, like build them up to this huge level. I saw an interview with Angelina Jolie on 60 Minutes this past week, and it was so weird to watch how controlled she felt like she had to be just talking, because you could just see her like measuring every single word.
I don't know how she has a conversation with anyone, because no matter what she says, someone's gonna just take it,
oh, she feels this way about this. It was so, I felt so tense. I felt very nervous, and I felt so much anxiety every time she spoke. So I'm like, wow, she is really measuring every single word. She cannot just talk.
That's funny,
isn't
it? I know a guy who interviewed Brad Pitt for something, and he said, when you ask him a question, every time before he answers, he takes a few seconds to process it before he answers. And that just sounds like a horrible way to live.
Yeah, yeah. You can't just be impulsive. I mean, we talk about, there's another thing we talked about in our stand-up, which is, you know, there was a set of twins, and we don't do tons of bits about twins. Actually, these are the only two. But there was a set of twins that were born. One of them had a botched circumcision, and they tried to raise him as a girl. There's a whole book about this called
I Remember
Asia
This.
Made Him.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you've probably seen us do this bit. You have, I know.
Yeah.
And basically, it's just this, he had a terrible life, and they raised him as a girl. And after 12 years, the parents finally sat him down and said, you know what, you're actually a boy. And then they fashioned a penis out of flesh from his inner thigh, and they gave him these hormone shots. And basically, he had a terrible life coming back. And for us, we jokingly said that, like, we immediately felt worse for his twin brother, because his twin brother can't complain about small things in front of that guy for the rest of his life. Which, again, it's like the Brad Pitt thing. Like, you can't just mouth off and say something stupid.
You can't get drunk. You can't, like, make a mistake. Like, we all should be able to make a mistake.
You can do it within the compound.
Well,
within the compound.
But
that's
the thing. Like, when people start finger pointing and be like, oh, look what that guy, look at this. You know, any one of those assholes who's getting outraged, if you followed them all day long, you could find 100 things that they said that were stupid or offensive or rotten.
Well, it goes back to, like, on Twitter. We tweet a bunch of jokes on Twitter. Like, that's literally what we do. I mean, we let people know when stuff is coming up, but, like, it's an opportunity for us to make jokes about, literally disposable jokes about stuff in pop culture, stuff that's happening right now, current news, and then just things that we think up and whatnot. And sometimes they're the germs of other bits. Sometimes they're not. I mean, we've tweeted, I don't know, 4,000 times, made 4,000 tweets, and the majority of them are jokes. And, like, you do one, and, like, I love the tweet that comes back, not one of your best.
Epic fail on that one.
Whatever. And then, like, I always like to go back in and kind of read their tweets. And, like, I want to. Part of me wants to be like, oh, you mean, like, this gem?
When someone shits at me for something, I always want to fire back with, well, now I understand why four people are following you, and three of them are probably spam bots. But you can't, because then you just look like an asshole.
You can't because you look like petty, and you want to stay above the fray. But I mean,
I am petty.
I am petty too. Why can't we be petty? And I feel like the only big star who can be really petty,
Tom Petty,
is Tom Petty.
That's right,
Tom Petty
and Lori Petty.
What about Richard Petty?
Richard Petty.
Okay. Wait, is Lori Petty Richard Petty's daughter?
Oh, I don't know. That would explain a lot.
I don't know.
I think she's related.
That would just explain Tank Girl. That's all it would explain. <Jordan.
laughs> Well, that explains a lot.
I thought she was the daughter of Peter Pettigrew, who then she had to shorten her name and move over here because of the scandal.
Yeah.
That's so right.
Hogwarts. She,
could that have happened.
A lot of times that happens.
That's it.
The Pettigrew scandal of the late 1800s.
Oh, the whole thing just drives me, the whole thing just drives me crazy.
It's okay, though. We did choose this. We did choose to be in this area, and we did choose to be.
And you are putting it out there for good and for bad. I mean, yes, you can get negative.
There is a moment, like, I don't know if you guys... There's a moment when if you're on stage and a set's not going well, or you're in an environment where something is not being as well received as you think it should be, where you just kind of sit back and just bathe in the shittiness of it. And there is something amazing because you can even say to yourself, there are millions of people out there who wish they could be sitting up in this position, even receiving this right now. I mean, it just is like something that they'll never experience. And you got to put it out there in order to get even the negative reaction back.
Sure.
So, I mean, on some level, it's cool.
And truthfully, no matter what you say, someone out there is going to hate it. There's someone to hate everything.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. Because
You know what? I fucking hate that statement.
Oh, shit. You're the guy.
Let him finish.
But thank you. So we're at 50-50.
No, I'm going to hate it when you're done, but let him finish.
Oh, good. And then maybe by then I'll win Randy over.
That's right.
But, you know, I tweeted a joke. I just tweeted a dumb thing because Mitt Romney's iPhone app, the developer misspelled America, which is not really. It basically said, like, I'm for America.
Oh, God.
And so.
Which he is.
So I tweeted a joke. I just tweeted something dumb like, you know, America this, America that, America. And then someone else fired back with like, oh, would you have said anything? Did you say anything about when Barack Obama said 57 states? And I was like, if I had fucking been on Twitter, I absolutely would have said it.
You better believe it. You better believe it. And by the way, once you jump into like anything political,
forget it.
Because there are those watchdogs out there who are
just
like,
people who won't pay attention to anything and just immediately just get angry about whatever.
Which is kind of a bummer.
Down.
You just almost have to go in like it's almost like
you guys stay away from political.
You have to.
The only political joke I've ever tweeted was Mitt Romney's hair part is so straight, Rick Santorum would let it get married.
That's a good joke.
I
love it.
But the problem is, especially in something like Twitter where you're only getting short bursts of things, mm-hmm. you can't, it ultimately opens you up to having to explain or defend your entire political platform to half of the people who are following you.
In 140 characters.
And the truth of the matter is, like, you're just never gonna, you're never gonna win anyone over, and they're not gonna win you over.
Right.
You're just gonna like, rah.
And the hope is, I mean, our hope is, my hope is that this country at some point returns to a place where we can debate about shit as opposed to, and I know like everybody has sounded that thing, but you know, I do remember a time when we were younger where people of differing, you know, like the extreme right wings had not hijacked both, or the extreme wings of both
left and right wings,
left and right have not hijacked it to the point where we can't.
And the shitty part is that most people, it's just sort of that biological mechanism that people will argue to argue rather than to seek truth.
I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of a sitcom, Extreme Wings.
Yes.
We get them all back together from wings. And then they do bike stunts.
The device stunts or bungee jumping or skydiving from the same airport.
Oh my God.
And it all happens in the West Wing of the White House.
I think Extreme Wings is the female version of the prosthetic head act that we talked about.
Nice. Extreme Wings.
No, that's where you go to a sports bar.
A vagina gets stretched over your face.
Uh-huh.
And then it's molded into
your face.
Tony Shalhoub's going to win so many Golden Globes.
Now, and you're breathing through the vas deferens.
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
A vas deferens reference.
Is that in a man? That's not in a woman.
I don't know. Maybe.
The vas deferens. The
fallopian tube?
Yes.
You're breathing through the fallopian tube. Yeah, no. I mean, I honestly don't even know what I was talking about.
No, but what I think we're saying is that, you know, you're putting stuff out. Whether it's going to be good or bad, it's going to be crapped
on. Yeah, I want to leave my mind open. Like, I think I'm a sort of, you know, it's no secret that I'm a liberal person. And, you know, I mean, I think liberal people tend to be more caring about lots of things. However, if somebody who was like a fiscal conservative but had liberal, you know, believed in gay marriage, believed in the woman's right to choose and all those things came along and made a very persuasive argument on how to make things better and wasn't aligned with, and literally made a stance to be like, I fuck the religious right, fuck those people, I hate them, I would be like, I'm open to hearing what you have to say because I believe we have to still be open to that
shit. But what I think happens in politics is like, there's sort of an old radio trick Which Tom?
It's coconuts, and they are horse hooves.
The Tom Likas. The Tom Likas.
Have you ever met Tom Likas?
I've never met Tom Likas.
Holy shit! We got a Tom Likas story.
Tom Likas.
So I think it's the Tom Likas thing of he knows, and old radio people know that it almost doesn't even matter if you believe what you're saying. You just have to have a strong opinion on something so that it generates. People buzz. Calling in and talking. Buzz and chatter and talking and it drives
even if
the
you
show.
Don't believe it.
And I think that's what happens a lot of the time with politics, and why you see politicians flip-flop on things is that they plant a flag in the sand because they know that I have to have a strong point of view in order to, because you can't be like, well, I just wish everything were better, you know. And so that, because you have to gain support, and then when they realize like, oh, this flag I planted didn't gain enough support, I better go plant this flag over here. And so I honestly think they're in weird position. I think to be a politician is a fucking weird thing to want to do.
Who would want to even go through that right now? Who in the world? Like, it's basically discouraged anybody to want to do that unless you are an extreme right wing or extreme left wing.
Because I think what happens is you start out young and idealistic and you go, God damn it, everything's fucked up and I want to change. I'm going to be the person. I'm going to be the cool teacher.
Yes.
I'm going to be the cool teacher who's cool to the kids and understands them and knows how the system works. And then you get up there in front of the class, and the class is full of dickhead kids.
Yeah, they're shitty kids.
God damn it.
They're shitty kids.
I wanted to be cool, but it has to be this way. And there's this weird system in place that I can't change. And God damn it.
The sweat hogs were sweet.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
Yeah.
What's your Tom Likas story?
Do Likas, and then. Yeah, Likas was, we just went in and did his radio show one time. I don't know why we were asked to do his radio show.
Bradley, Jesus Christ.
No, no, way less energy.
He's got,
the lights are low, and he's got sunglasses on.
They turn the lights really low.
9 o'clock at night. He's just literally talking about wine in his wine cellar. It was like a show about his wine cellar, right?
He wouldn't look at anyone in particular. We're all sitting across the table from him.
He's the physical manifestation of a child rapist. I mean, literally, you were like, he's probably little. I don't know how many children he's raped before he got there or after.
Maybe he's just a Nosferatu.
Yes. Maybe.
I think so.
He's the Nostradamus of Nosferatu.
yeah, he is the very. He just sits there in these dark glasses and doesn't look at anyone in particular and just, Tom Likas here. And the whole time we're just so creeped out, we just had to leave.
It felt like he was like an automatronic.
He's controlled by tape reels under the floor.
Yes. Propped up.
One of those crazy old Twilight Zone.
Exactly. I'm talking about the wine cellar. I got 1,000 wines in the wine cellar.
4 and 7 years ago.
He was.
Likas.
He was terrible. I mean, I literally was like, you know how, like, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, because I guess we try to surround ourselves with good people. Have you ever been in the presence of, like, pure evil?
Yes.
Like, being in Tom Likas' presence, you are literally in the presence of something that
you've killed a baby before,
like,
right?
Like a dark cloud. He's definitely strangled
kitties. Eat it, not waste it.
Yeah.
Eat it, yeah.
Yeah.
Just to eat it. Well, he did not waste it.
I don't waste any part of the baby.
No, he doesn't. He's like the Native American.
I use every part of the baby.
I put it down in my wine cellar.
I got a baby cellar right next to my wine cellar.
The baby cellar's got 1,000 babies.
I'll tell you something. I'm not wasteful. I use the baby toe bones to sharpen my fangs.
Baby skull makes a great ashtray, guys.
But
we'll
you
be
gotta
back
wait till the cartilage gets solid.
Yeah, you gotta wait till it gets solid. And I use a femur bone as a back. Scratcher.
Oh, Likas. Right back at you.
Back at you.
I have to scratch close the 1,000 souls that are screaming out of my back that I've absorbed.
I can't hear them screaming because I'm too medicated. Tom Likas.
The year was 1649 as I was bored to darkness, as I call it.
I'm just here to spread some cheer.
Likas. I'll have your soul in an hour. Likas.
Blow me up, Tom.
Oh, man.
Well, you guys, we're at the end of our hour. I adore both of you equally.
You too, dude. Thank you.
And it's so great to have you back on. Thank you for doing the bowling show. Good luck with United Stats of America.
I think you guys will hear feedback, too. We are at Sklar Brothers. So if you watch the show based on this recommendation, Tuesday nights at 10, 9 central on history, let us know what you think about it, because we actually love hearing that feedback.
And saying, hey, Nerdist sent you.
Nerdist sent you. Let us know. And, you know, hopefully if more people watch and it gets a little spike, we'll get to do more. That's our hope.
Cool. There are a lot of statistics out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are.
And the Sklars need to cover them.
We do.
That's right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Enjoy your twin burritos.
Yeah! Is that another thing?
Yep. twin burritos. Twin burritos is when Tom Likas has two baby twins. Wait, let me finish.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by our friends of the Comedy Bang Bang TV show. Yay! Watch the premiere episode June 8th at 10, 9 central in the PM on IFC.